in the pine wood there. A car. My dad had a secret. It was a lawn. I always lit up my lawn, but you know what? I can't talk about that today. A long time ago. I'm only like 8. You know, it gets old, but I tell you what doesn't get old. I've been born again. I've been saved for eternity. I'm a child of the King. I remember as a kid pumping gas at the Ohio Station, which is now a BP station out there by Bob Evans. I was pumping gas. To say to you that audacious, yeah, they always lit up, aren't you? Sometimes just lit up about God and get a song. You should just sing a song and say, man, that's it. I'm in. Sins are gone, my dead is dead. Woo! Why is it hard for us? You know, what really ought to make us think is how hard it is for us to get lit up about that. It's so true. You know it's true. You're sitting there, you think, I know that's true, but you know, you're sitting there thinking, man, I got to get dinner off the table and got things to do this week. See how, even though we know, sometimes that little thought gets put out there. The Lord, He loves you so much, He took that. He says, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. Woo! I'm so glad He took care of that. The Bible says if you will confess with your mouth, the word confess is the word homologia. It means to speak the same thing, and it's an aorist tense, which simply means you're going to speak it clearly once. You're going to speak it with understanding. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, for many people, that doesn't just mean saying. They think, well, that means saying it out loud. No, it means to say the Lord Jesus. And in that day, they used to offer incense to Caesar, and they would say Lord Caesar, because they believed in emperor worship. So to say the Lord Caesar meant that they were saying all my allegiance to God Caesar. So if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and this is written to the Romans right in the seat of the Roman authority, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, it cost them something. They could be killed. I.e., Roman Colosseum. See that? History is knit with evidences. This is how it works. Trust Jesus as God and you can be saved. It might cost you your life, but you can be saved. How cool is this? It makes sense. And you say, well, I don't know if I could die for God. Right, you don't. You don't. But if you came down to it and you were convinced something was true, you would go. Let me put it in this particular vantage point. If somebody said it's either you or your son, you or your daughter, and, you know, sort of a rote way, I'll say it obviously can't happen. But if it could happen, you know, there was a day when we honored, valued our women enough to jump in front of a bullet. Men or children and women first, right? Not no more. Things are getting pretty dumbed down in this world. We don't value our ladies like we used to. And what's ending up happening is we don't know what it is to take a bullet for somebody else. Do you see what I'm saying? We are losing our perspective on what it means to sacrifice. Sacrifice means taking the bullet for somebody else. That's what Jesus did. He shows us what it looks like. He laid down His rights. The Bible says, you know the great God. How that He who was rich became poor. Maybe it. He didn't come in pomp and circumstance. He didn't come with an entourage. He came in a cradle. The lowliest. They weren't the kind of people you'd want to sit next to and see it. Whosoever shall confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The idea of belief. And we can be persuaded because the Bible gives us evidence after
in one out of every four verses. And this is what's going to happen. You ever heard somebody say, I called it. In Bethlehem, the third day, he would save his people from their sins, and nobody would believe because they didn't want to. And he says that him, they would hate him. But he would draw all men unto himself. He was lifted up. You've been drawn near. You see him hanging on a cross. Why is he there? Why? Because he was dying for you. Now you've been told. And because you've been told, you're responsible. You ever had that situation when you were a kid? Mom left a note there on the refrigerator. You ever had that note there popped up real nice on the bread box, right there on the counter? And you said, I know what that bugger's doing. Clean up the house and get ready for her to come. You know something. To go forgive says that if you'll just believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you can be saved. Not to believe it anymore. Isn't that true? 2 equals how much? Can't convince you otherwise, can I? Okay, just read that. Yeah. Somebody said, oh, I don't know. It depends. Same thing with salvation. Prime pump. Some of us are old enough to remember. You prime a pump. You pour water in it and keep pouring water, and you pump and you pump. Pour it in. You pump and you pump. Hey, woo! Got water. You. A little blood on the. Into heaven. He was going to go into heaven. Jesus was going to come die. He was going to take his blood right into the throne room of Almighty God. The Bible says that he died not for our sins only. Oh, beloved, he makes intercession for us. If you sin, any man sins, because these things are right unto you. I paid for that. Today that God just said. So if you now on Jesus, according to his word, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said that in his word. Then here's his today, but if you're not saved yet, you need to be. The only thing you have to do not to be saved is nothing. Now that's as simple as it gets. And you know what they say about genius? Genius is not found in big verbiage. It's found in simplicity. God made it as simple as it possibly can be. Jesus paid for your sins. The Bible says you've heard the grace of God and you know the gospel that we delivered unto you. How that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. How that He was again the third day. We have about 500 brethren at one. A few weeks later, He got up on a mountaintop and He said, guys, I'm leaving now. Go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And while He was speaking, the Bible says He began to move up off this earth. He began to move up and they were in awe. And when He got to certain points, a cloud caught Him out of their sight. You say, well, that's pretty hard to imagine. It's not hard to imagine if you know this book. God always rode around on the cloud. You go back and read Ezekiel 2, 3, and 4, and you're going to find Him riding around on a cloud all the time. Cloud, necessarily, in the sense of God, is so cool to read. Alone again. I could tell all the beloved, listen, you got history. We base our calendars on it. You got prophecy. And you got the witness of these lives who come to do what He tells me to do. Baptism, by the way, there were no babies baptized in the Bible. We do not baptize babies because they couldn't understand. I love my Bible. It's the greatest book in all the world. It's where I get all my hope and my peace. I don't have to worry about despair. Look what it says here for one more verse here. I'll just share with you quickly. It says, he that believeth in Him Jesus, you're going to come one day down to it and you're going to be in despair. You believe in Jesus, you won't be in despair. I don't know where you are. But if you need to be born again, you can do it. Right where you are. Would you bow with me? Give me a moment, just heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I've endeavored to be as clear. I know that maybe some things are not clear, but the basics.